The sources of news we trust help shape our worldview, but how much do we evaluate those sources? We'll give you some food for thought today on the On Track podcast. Welcome to On Track, where we help Christians to hold to your faith, stay the course, and finish the race. And that's the way it is. It was the way CBS anchorman Walter Cronkite would sign off his newscasts each night. And it seemed most of the country really believed that what Cronkite told them was the way things were. Cronkite had earned the title of Most Trusted Man in America during his time at CBS, which ran from 1962 to 81. It's indicative of how we'd like those who report the news to be. Trustworthy. We can't be everywhere, so we rely on others who are there to tell us what's happening. We want the information we see and hear to accurately reflect the world. We want to be properly informed. We don't want to be misled. I don't know about you, but I think these are pretty reasonable expectations. After all, we make a lot of decisions based, at least in part, on what we hear, see, or read in the news. Things like what products to buy, or how to dress for the weather, to decisions on how to invest our money. But even beyond these things, what we believe is happening in the world shapes how we believe the world to be. The sources of news we consume, and to what extent we trust them, can have a big impact on our worldview. Now, I like to use that term, but it's not one everyone's familiar with, so let's define it. A worldview is the set of beliefs and assumptions that shapes how you see the world. Everyone has a worldview. And it's important that our worldview be grounded in what is true. Because if it's not, we will drift off course into believing things that are false and begin over time to make bad decisions, decisions that are harmful to ourselves and to others. You see, our worldview affects the everyday decisions we make, the habits we form, the causes we support, the opinions we take, to even how we see ourselves, how we see God, and how we understand the world to be. As Christians, our worldview should be anchored to the truth of Scripture. God's Word is our fixed point of reference that never changes. It's the solid rock on which we can confidently build our lives. But if we're not careful, we can let other voices subtly shape and bend our worldview, even without realizing it. So we need to be careful about the sources of information that we trust. If they have a different worldview, they can, and often do, attempt to influence others toward their way of thinking. And if you think about it, it's really only human nature to do so. As much as we would like to think of the news media as neutral presenters of fact, they are people just like us, with their own opinions, presuppositions, and desires. And what I want to draw attention to today is that the news media as a whole tends to view the world through a specific lens. When we look at the views of the country in general, this is according to 2022 numbers, about 30% of the country identifies as Republican and about the same number Democrat. The rest identifies as independent or third party. But in newsrooms across the country, remember we said about 30% of the country identifies as being members of either party, but in newsrooms, only about 3% identified as Republican. That's about 90% lower than the population at large. Journalists who self-identified as Democrats, on the other hand, were about 36%. So 36 to 3. So you have journalists identifying as Republican at a tenth of the general population, while those identifying as Democrat were 30% higher than the population. Not surprisingly, about 4 out of 5 news media members said they were more liberal, and only 1 in 5 said they were more conservative. And this is not a new development. If you go back to the 1972 presidential election, Richard Nixon defeated George McGovern in a 49-state landslide. 62% of the country supported Nixon. Yet 81% of journalists from major media outlets voted for McGovern. You may have heard the story of Uri Berliner, and I hope I'm pronouncing that name right. He was a longtime employee at NPR, National Public Radio. He shared his concerns publicly about his newsroom's objectivity, noting there were 87 registered Democrats on staff and 0 Republicans. Let that sink in for a moment. The newsroom at a major household name for news was made up of people from only one side of the political aisle. When Berliner brought his concerns to his bosses, he said their response was just indifference. They weren't upset one way or the other. It was kind of like they just shrugged and said, oh well. Why would they react that way? May I suggest it's because the newsroom largely shared the same worldview. The imbalance of viewpoints wasn't a concern because they all saw the world in the same way, the correct way. There likely wasn't the tension of differing perspectives or narratives, so they didn't feel the need to counterbalance their reporting. Now, how do you suppose that affected their reporting? What they chose to cover, how they presented it, and what they chose to ignore? NPR is hardly alone. People who hold more conservative views, who have worked at some of the big networks, have borne witness to the monolithic thinking. One such reporter is Cheryl Atkison, a longtime employee of CBS News and CNN. She said in her book, Slanted, quote, when it comes to news reporting, the center has been dragged so far left that a neutral posture is now viewed as right-wing, end quote. I've seen studies on campaign donations, which show the share of journalists' contributions to Democrat candidates dwarfing donations to Republicans. Think on a scale of 10 to 1. But it's not just the media's political viewpoints that are skewed out of balance with the country at large. It's also their spiritual views. John G. West is the author of a book I recommend called Stockholm Syndrome Christianity. In it, he cited a survey from 2007 that showed about 40% of the American population said they attended church weekly. Another sizable percentage said they went less frequently, but 40% weekly. Yet of national journalists, only 8% said they attended church weekly. That would mean journalists were 5 times less likely than the rest of the country to be in church each week. Again, this doesn't appear to be a new development. Back in 1977, a Gallup poll showed that 86% of elite journalists said they seldom or never went to church. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, you need to understand that those who report the news largely have a different worldview. And that worldview will show in what they report, how they report it, and just as importantly, what they ignore. Over time, this can subtly begin to affect our own worldview, especially if we trust that what we're seeing and hearing in the news is how things really are. West says, quote, news and information media have tremendous power to shape what we think about, what we think is important, and what claims are credible, end quote. You may have never thought about this, or you may agree that the media at large has a bias toward one side of the political aisle. But even so, you may not realize that the media has sizable power to make you think in a certain way, or to make you think your views are outdated and at odds with the rest of the country. West cited one example of this in the way network newscasts covered the abortion debate in the late 1980s. When mentioning those who supported abortion, the media would almost exclusively call them pro-choice. But instead of using the term pro-life when talking about the other side, the media would nearly always call them anti-abortion. That subtle framing, the intentional use of labels, made it appear that support for abortion was the mainstream view in America. If you opposed it, you were anti-abortion and not pro-life. The implication was that you were out of step with how the country really thought, whereas the actual data showed the country was more evenly split on the issue. More recently, over an 18-month span from June of 2023 to November 2024, the Media Research Center found that the network PBS used extreme right terms 162 times, while using extreme left terms only 6 times. There are numerous examples of headlines or stories that contain bias. We could spend all day going through them, though I don't think that's a particularly helpful approach. But sometimes a small example can go a long way. Here are two of my favorites. In early 2023, the New York Times tweeted a correction to their audience. It read, correction, an earlier tweet misstated the nature of recent debt ceiling showdowns. Both parties are responsible for the debt, but only Republicans are using it as a political tool. We deleted the incorrect tweet. In November of 2022, NPR ran a headline that said, In Arizona, an election-denying Republican faces off against a Democrat defending election integrity in the state's gubernatorial race. Remember, this was the newsroom with 87 Democrats and zero Republicans. Now, of course, you can point to media outlets that go to the other extreme and are made up of solely of perspectives on the political right. And with these, you'll also get a skewed view of reality. But these are largely outside the realm of traditional broadcast media. They don't carry the same weight as the traditional media giants. And while most people recognize the bias of these outlets to the right, they may not as readily accept that of the mainstream media. Rare is the news outlet that's truly fair and balanced, reporting what's happening without using their own opinion to frame it. Why? Because we all have bias. Each of us has a worldview. How we see the world affects what we believe to be true about reality. It will affect what we try and convince others of. One more quote from John G. West that I think is very accurate. Others have pointed out that the media may have always had their biases, but they used to be much more subtle with them. Today, if you're paying attention, it's a lot easier to spot, much like the headlines I read to you a moment ago. West says that, quote, "The goal of many journalists today is not to report on the world and let you decide. It's to reform the world and enlist you in its reformation." I like that quote. Let's bring it back to a Christian worldview. If you're a believer in Christ and you're convinced that the Word of God is eternal, unchanging, and true, then filter the news through the lens of Scripture. Let Scripture be the determiner of what is true, not the opinion of any news anchor. There are numerous passages in the New Testament that tell us the world is naturally going to be against its Creator and against those who obey Him. And this is because we are fallen creatures. We all have a sin nature that rebels against God. Try as we might, we can never be perfect. And the Bible makes clear that none of us will be reconciled to God by our good works. None of us will be saved by our own effort. It's only through accepting forgiveness as a free gift through Christ that we can be made right with our Creator. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for that. The more I live, the more I see the sin inside me, and I don't like it. If I had to rely on myself to be able to approach a holy God, I'd be in bad trouble. But I don't have to, because Jesus paid the penalty for my sin already. He's making me new day by day, step by step. And He can do the same for you. I'll wrap up with this. Be on your guard with the information you ingest, knowing that the news media largely does not share your worldview. Filter what you see through Scripture and let it be your anchor, confident it will always point you to what is true. Thanks for listening to On Track. For more, visit our website at keeponTrack.org.